You're on a live 90.5, 22 minutes to one. Business Insights with Mario and Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, joined to the dark side. Ladies and gentlemen, true privilege to have a guest in studio today. It's a bit crowded today because of the I messed with the schedule, and so I booked 3 guests instead of 2. But Darren, lucky I have a Darren in studio. He's a great friend of mine, awesome producer. But let's introduce our second guest. It's going to join us to the dark side. So imagine, ladies and gentlemen, you have the business and you want to enhance your business. You want to enhance your culture, productivity. You want to be like, you know, I want to take a Darren and put him on steroids to become like Iron Man. I will call exactly our guest to assist, even to myself. He's a great person, great entrepreneur, but introduction of him, I'm going to leave to our guest. Alex Abbas, thank you for coming today with us in the studio.
Thanks, Mario. It's great to be here.
For our listeners, who is Alex Abbas?
Sure.
Well, thank you, Alex. That was a big dip.
Great to be here, Mario. Thanks for having me on the show. So, Alex Abbas. I run a performance enhancement company in the area of performance enhancement company. And I also have another business working and delivering services in the NDIS sector as well. Yeah. But the majority of the business that I do is in the advisory space, advising on matters of performance enhancement and human resource development.
When we talk about enhancements, sorry.
Well, I was just thinking, Mario, we're great, aren't we? what enhancements do we need? But yeah, really.
So what's enhancements? Obviously, it's not the standards all or... You know, I mean, special K, you know, I mean, the steroids, but how do you define that substance?
Performance enhancement, you know, I mean, business.
Yeah, how do you define the substance performance? You know, I mean, this is like you take a person or you talk to him, or how this works?
Yeah. So there appears to be a psychology and an evidence base to enhancing performance. So my role is to bring in the evidence base, the research of enhancing performance, and apply that to people and organizations and systems to assist them to perform at optimal levels.
Yeah. So, look, Darren and I, you know, like we always have it in the studio, great, great entrepreneurs, great people with a credibility, authority like yourself. However, I'm always struggling with one thing, Alex, you know, I mean, and I didn't saw it now for some time, you know, I mean, because of the COVID. But there's a lot of gurus there who are doing this performance thing and everything else. What makes you different than anybody else? What's unique about you?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And the difference is that it's bringing the psychology of performance enhancement into business and using an evidence base and seeing what the research shows in relation to what does improve performance as opposed to opinion-based. So with opinion-based, the person might not know anything about the topic, but they will give you their advice anyway.
That's not true. There's a lot of those, certificate 3 in a personal, whatever, lifestyle coaching, whatever, business coaching. Yeah. But, you know, you support this with the science, with the research. Correct. So you never step in front of the client. So who are your clients, Alex?
A lot of general managers of companies, mm-hmm. A lot of people who are group general managers, who manage managers, a lot of business leaders. As you are well aware, as a business owner yourself, there's a very large there's a very large part of the role as a general management role or a senior business role is to develop the capability of your managers. It's a very key aspect, and also provide the capability for those managers to be able to develop the staff further down as well. So anyone who's in a leadership role, who's in a management role, would be my ideal client, usually quite senior management roles, mm-hmm. who manage managers per se and have, like, you know, anywhere from 20 to, you know, 200 people over reporting to them.
So in your personal experience and as an expert, what's the qualities of the good leader in some corporation? We talk about senior executive level. So what's the good qualities you seeing or you try to, I can't say implement. How would you say this, Darren? Insert into somebody, inject to become better leader. What's the elements or the, you know, I mean, the signs you look into somebody who is a good leader or what they need to have and how you inject this into them?
It's not necessarily about injecting anything about or
into. Well, we love injecting here because
I would use the word enabling. How do you enable people? Yeah.
See, that's a good one. Enabling. Sorry.
Yeah. The research tends to show that transformational leadership is very effective. Leaders that can help transform their staff is a very effective leadership style. And also adaptive leadership, so adapting to the environment. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's about, a lot of leaders already have these skills, but it's about helping them to enhance these skills. How do I help them become more of a transformational leader? How do I help them become more of an adaptive leader, per se? And within that, within the leadership capability and framework, culture comes into it as well. So that it's never really one factor. There's a lot of different factors. So we look at the leader's thinking. How is this person thinking about their leadership style? What are their blind spots? And this is where the coaching comes into it, because coaching offers a solution to so many of these business problems. For example, enhancing their leadership capability. It's not necessarily about teaching them, because if you're a senior manager and you don't know how to be a leader, you've got all sorts of problems.
Okay. On that note.
It's a skills gap.
It's always the difference that you hear, that you have managers and leaders, and they're not one and the same thing.
They're not one and the same thing, although a senior manager role should have some leadership capability. So should it's vice versa. They're all very interconnected. But your role as a leader is to provide hope in an organization. If you're an organization leader and you don't provide hope, you're not doing it right.
Can I ask again about hope and leadership? You mentioned something very important. Can you repeat this again for our listeners?
Yeah. Your role in a business, your role as a leader, is to provide hope. If you're not providing hope to your staff and employees, you're probably not doing it right.
On that note, we take a short break because, join to the dark side. It's like a hope. That was, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Abbasi from, what's the name of the company again?
Abbas Advisory.
Abbas Advisory. We'll take a short break, Dan and myself, and we come back to our guests with more questions.
It's 11 minutes to 1. Business Insights with Mario and Darren on Alive 90.5.
And thank you to all listeners on Alive 90.5, the greatest business radio talk show, Business Insights with Darren and Mario on Alive 90.5 FM. And we are truly privileged to have that truly unique guest with authority, credibility, and whatever you name it. We don't need to listen to gurus on our YouTube. You don't need to go read those many books, because this gentleman in studio, Alex Abbasi from Abbasi Advisory, he shares with us some insights. So we talk about leadership and hope, but Alex, I want to ask you one question. How much is important for leader to be physically fit, or, bulky or six-pack, whatever you want to call it? How is it, what is the physical fitness with the leadership?
Yeah. So there was a researcher, Jim Lower and Associates, who did a lot of case studies on this topic, and he hypothesized that whenever we go to performance enhancement consultants in business, they look at the person from the neck up. They look at the emotions, they look at what they're thinking, they look at their spirituality, and then they say, this is how we're going to enhance performance. So what Jim Lower and Associates did is that they ran some studies, they ran some case studies and tests of 5,600 people, and all they did was they did interventions on a physical level, like taking half an hour off during the day in the middle of lunchtime to go and do a quick workout, or doing a workout in the morning before work, or going and doing a workout in the afternoon. And what he found, what him and his team found is that just by working on your physical capacity, automatically people start to begin to have more emotional capacity. They started to think clearer, and they were able to handle HR problems a lot easier. So he concluded at the end of all these studies that physical capacity, your physical body, is the rock that holds together your emotions and your thinking, because you can still get enhancement in performance just by working on your physical capacity. So if you think of a triangle, the bottom of the triangle is the physical capacity. The physical capacity is the rock that holds together your emotions and your thinking and your spirituality. Spirituality is important, your sense of purpose and meaning, but the physical body is the rock.
That's amazing.
Who are you?
That's amazing. We have many people in the studio, and just have someone who always resonates with what we know and live. And for me, I can add to that study as an anecdote, is that for me, I used to work in a high-performance job, left that in May for some reason, and I used to commute on bike to and from work. And for me, the actual separation between work and home on the bike up North Rocks Road, just riding the bike and meditating that way, helped me to manage my stress between work and home.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. So I think a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate how much your physical capacity has to do with your overall level of performance. And if you're interested in looking at this model further, look up Jim Lohr and Associates, and it was called the Performance Pyramid. Have a look at the Performance Pyramid on Google, and it'll start to break it down for you.
So the Performance Pyramid, and can you go through that again for us, what that pyramid is?
Yeah, so the pyramid was the hypothesis that your physical body, your physical capacity has a direct relationship to your work performance. So the physical body is the rock that holds together your emotions and your thinking. Have you seen, for example, people who don't have good physical health and then their emotions are all over the place, they're not contained, and they're not thinking as clear when they've got physical health issues, so to speak? So by addressing, there's a lot of research now to show as well, it's well established, when you exercise, endorphins start to run, you know?
And is this just about feeling good? Is leadership about feeling good and thinking?
I think it is, no?
And what I know in myself, if I don't check me, I there's an approval thing there. I've got to be approved to do stuff rather than just getting stuff done. Is leadership about feeling good, or what is leadership about in your mind, Alex?
I'm not sure about leadership because my area of specialty is performance, but I can comment that a lot of organizations are now running well-being programs, but I think one of the pitfalls is that you can have people who are feeling quite good, have high levels of well-being, but still have low performance. Mm. That's still a possibility.
Interesting.
And what
That's
do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do in that case? How do you
you inject
that
into them something happy.
Happy pills? Do you take a happy pill or a performance pill? What is the performance pill?
Well, the performance side of it is that, again, it was coming back to applying what the person needs. So a really quick way to improve performance is use strengths. And I want to go into this pub time story. There was some persons who actually looked at some pubs that were not doing quite well. They were distressed. So they started to renovate these pubs. And what they found over time is that when they renovated these pubs that were distressed, they found that they got a 15% increase in profitability over a short period of time. And then someone came along and said, well, why don't we go to a pub that's already doing quite well and do these pubs up and see what happens? So when they enhance pubs, when they renovated the pubs that were already doing quite well, what they found is the profitability went up by 8 times. So then this was actually replicated with humans, with people and organizations. And then they looked at what happens when people are already performing quite well, high performing or optimal performing, and we optimize their strengths. And when you can bring in a strength-based approach in organizations, the study suggests that you can get up to 8 times in improvements in people's performance.
Okay. Murray?
I just want to make a statement, wow. Because I couldn't breathe, honestly. Darren and I, as I said, Darren and myself, we interviewed quite a lot of people, a lot of unsung business heroes. And, some people capture earlier, somebody later, some people capture no attention whatsoever. I talk about me personally, but what I realize with you, when you talk, it's not just about your confidence, but you are citing the references, which not many people in a business, in a space of leadership or performance coaching or whatever you want to call them, that's give you that credibility, authority, Alex. And everybody who likes to know more about Alex, we're going to say a little bit later how they can find me. Darren,
thought was, Mario, there as well, is to think, so if I've got 3 out of 5 strengths that really required for leadership, and I'm poor in a few others, how do you address that with somebody who wants to be the better leader, have the better performance as well?
Focus on your top strengths. Find out what those top strengths are. Use your top strengths to develop your lower strengths.
Do I look at developing the strengths in me or in others in my team?
Both. Yourself and others. So some people are very task oriented and they really struggle connecting with people because there's so much about tasks. And that's their strength, you see. Mm-hmm. So they run into issues with other people. So what you can do is you can look at relating to other people as a task that you can learn. So then you can apply your strength of task, because they're very task oriented, into learning how to connect with people on a more at a heart level.
You know what? I'm regretting not talking to you last week because I was just handed my assignments on my effective leadership, my essay, because I'll talk to you. But, it's time to wind up our first first part of our show. But Alex, before we wind up the first hour of our show, our listeners, how they can find you?
Yeah. So there's a website. If you go to my website, www.abossadvisory.com.au, or Google me, or LinkedIn on Alex Aboss, you'll find me.
Yeah, well, Alex, well, thank you for being our guest today on Align 90.5 FM Business Insights with Mari and Darren.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks, Mari.
Look, we're going to have you again, Darren. Because, like, you know, like, again, I apologize because I mess it up with the schedule. Darren's a very patient man. But to all our listeners, please join us today on our website, align905.com.au. There's going to be an interview with Alex Abbasi from abbasiadvisory.com.au, and you can hear some of his insights as well. You can contact him there, and we're going to have him back. Thank you for listening. Align
90.5. Thanks, Mario.
Yes, Darren.
All good, and let's go to the news.
We are the